listening to The Real Issue. We're gonna get that revolution starts right now. You are listening to The Real Issue on KZFR Radio. The Real Issue is a public affairs talk show. We're here every Wednesday night from 6 until 7 p.m. This edition of The Real Issue is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Paradise Community Guild, fostering community by nurturing creativity, practicing stewardship of nature, and promoting values of sustainability. Paradise Community Guild invites all people of goodwill and community spirit to help us carry out that intent. To get involved, visit paradiseguild.org. Also, you can find them on Facebook. You can also give them a call at 762-1490. So, of course, every week we thank our underwriters for their consistent financial support of our community radio station. But today, we also give you the opportunity to throw your financial contribution into the bucket as we launch our fall pledge drive tonight. We are on the path of raising $40,000. So, you know, I use the word bucket very specifically because I know that we often think of our you know, our $25 or our $50 or, you know, even $10 as it's just a drop in the bucket, and it's not really going to contribute to that $40,000. But, you know, here's the thing. Every drop in the bucket helps fill the bucket, right? It's that easy. We are community radio. We must rely on each other, and we must rely on you. So, you know, it would be easy if we had a corporate backer that simply sold widgets or sold propaganda like the former president does. But we don't. We don't sell anything. What we do is we offer our community the music, the amazing music, and we offer locally produced public affairs programming, and we offer the opportunity to contribute to your community radio station, and we just give it back. It's a, you know, it's a positive feedback loop, right? We give it, you give it back, and we just keep building our community together. So not only are we going to provide an opportunity for you tonight to contribute financially, but I want to just point out a couple of the other things that KZFR offers opportunities all the time. I mean, when we think of corporate media, it's really just propaganda in a lot of levels, especially, you know, one or two on the far right. That's just propaganda machines, and it's a money-making enterprise in trying to, using it to win power. But here at KZFR Community Radio, we don't do that. We provide opportunities for the community to speak to each other. And so one of the opportunities that we offer is that anybody can come into the studio, create a program, you know, you get trained and you figure out what you want to contribute to the community, and we give you that opportunity. That's the beauty of community radio. That is not what corporate radio is about. And so one person that is taking us up on that opportunity is Christine Ponce. Christine, you are here in the studio with me today.
Right, you are. Thank you, Sue.
So it is so good to have you on the radio here. And you just called me, I don't know, you called me about 6 weeks ago and said, I am mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. You didn't say it in those words, but you said, I want to be on the radio. I have something to contribute. Talk about that process of taking that opportunity as a community member to give back to your community through the radio.
Absolutely. Thank you. I think it started with several issues that have cropped up in the last couple of years that affect me personally as a woman, as a resident of Chico, as someone that wants to be involved in this community. And this seemed like a great way to give back allow me a chance to possibly enlighten, entertain, inform, and educate our viewers and bring them into the fold of the community.
Christine, if you had wanted to, I don't know, maybe contribute in a way on a corporate-backed media station, would they have let you do it? Would they just say, sure, come on in anytime you want, we'll train you and come up with a good show and we'll give you a slot on our radio station?
Well, thank you for making me laugh, Sue. No, they wouldn't.
Right on, right on. Well, tell us, as we're talking about what we all contribute to the community, Boy, that's a time. I'm so excited here in the studio today. It's pledge drive. So as we talk about what we can contribute to our community, what is your timeline? What's your mental timeline in terms of becoming a certified programmer and being able to contribute on a regular basis back to KZFR listeners?
Sure. I think my loose timeline is to complete all the training and requirements this year, and then hopefully in the new year launch a program where I can draw in community experts, community residents, but also possibly reach further and get some other people to star on the show and give us their opinion on topics. And sometimes you just need that paradigm shift from that different source that has a different view.
So here you are. Christine Ponce is in the studio with me because she took up this opportunity to contribute to our community. And again, that's what community radio is all about. Sometimes I wish we had a big fat financial backer that could just throw wads of money at us and we wouldn't have to worry about it anymore. But then we would be beholden to that person's views. And we don't. We are the views of the community. And any community member that wants to, you know, get trained in terms of the FCC guidelines and our standards of civility and all of those things can just come in. So if you appreciate that kind of community opportunity, that the quote product that we offer here at Community Radio, KCFR, give us a call. There's a lot of ways that you can contribute. Let's say we want to raise $500 in this next hour, the 6 to 7 hour. Let's do $500. We need to raise $4,000 a day in order to reach our goal in 10 days for $40,000. So what you can do right now is you can give us a call. I have Chris and Leah and Mary standing by waiting for your call. Give us a call at 530-895-0131, 895-0131. You can also Venmo us at KZFR901. That's KZFR901. Easy to remember. You can text us, pledge KZFR to 44321. That's 44321. You can also just go online at KZFR.org. And then if you have a check or you got some cash or you want to just come on in and check out the station, you can just show up, 341 Broadway. We're on the fourth floor. We are in Studio 416. We love it now that the pandemic is over. We love having people come into the studio. And you can see we are not flashy, but we do have a pretty sweet setup. We got a great community radio station. And what your contribution will go to is a new HVAC system, $17,000. I'm telling you right now, Christine, I think she can vouch for me. Can you vouch for me how hot it is right now because our air conditioning went out?
Oh, it's toasty.
So give us a call. Keep your programmers nice and cool. I was told once if you're on the radio, you are cool, so you don't have to try. But I'm telling you, your programmers these days are very hot. So help us right now. Contribute and allow us the opportunity to contribute back. Give us a call, 530-895-0131. Thanks so much, Christine, for being here. I know you're going to be here the whole hour, and you'll be here for many, many, many months and years to come on the radio with us.
You got it. Thank you, Sue.
So we're going to jump right into the programming. We can't ask for money for the whole time, right? So tonight on The Real Issue, we will focus on our election season coverage. We're going to continue with that. Tonight, we're going to focus specifically on the various ballot propositions. During the first half of The Real Issue, we'll talk with Angela McLaughlin, spokesperson for the organization Stand Up for Chico. She's going to talk about the statewide ballot propositions. And then during the second half of the program, we'll turn to two local propositions, Measure H and Measure L. David Welsh of the Democratic Action Club of Chico will join me to talk about those local ballot measures. So now, while you're looking for all of those glossy, colorful mailers from the various candidates and the political parties, I want to remind you that all ballots are mail-in ballots. Just like during the primary, all ballots will be mailed to you, and that's going to start next Monday, which is October 10th. So you may receive your ballot as early as next Wednesday. So keep an eye out for that. If you're not registered yet to vote, or you've moved and you need to re-register, it is definitely not too late. You can get a voter registration form at the post office, at the library. You can find one on campus. You can even register online these days. You can go to the Secretary of State's website. You can go to buttevote.net, and that'll start you on that process of just registering online. It's so easy to do. And with mail-in ballots, there is no excuse to not vote. That is, in my opinion, that is a lazy cop-out. So, you know, really, as citizens in a democratic society, and I know people out there are screaming and yelling, we're a republic, we're not a democracy. We are a democracy. A republic is a form of democracy. So anyway, it is our responsibility to be informed so that we can guide our government. Without democracy, we cannot guarantee our individual freedom. And speaking of individual freedom, specifically reproductive freedom, our freedom is literally on the ballot this cycle. But we're going to get to that ballot proposition soon enough. So now that you have your mailers in your hand, or you have a piece of paper in your hand, and you have a pen to start making notes about all these ballot propositions, I have joining me on the phone right now to talk about the statewide ballot propositions is Angela McLaughlin with the organization Stand Up for Chico. As always, it's great to have you back at The Real Issue, Angela.
Hi, Sue. Thanks for having me.
So I know you're a regular listener of KZFR, Angela McLaughlin. So I want to give you an opportunity to do a shout out for why people should support us.
Sure. Well, I mean, there are so many reasons, but we, KZFR is the only station that has truly local programming. You know, a lot of NPR, and I love NPR as well, but a lot of NPR is national, and KZFR focuses a lot more clearly on local issues. It's one of the few places where you can get some in-depth discussions of local concerns, and so that's one of the big reasons I listen.
And you didn't know I was going to ask you that, so that was a pretty good answer. It's a pretty good answer. The thing about it is I love inviting you onto this program because you're smart, you're on the ground, you're in the trenches, you're really an advocate for Chico. You're standing up for Chico. And often your voice is overlooked or it's demonized. And so I one of the reasons I love KZFR so much is that I get to invite really smart people like you to actually be on the radio and to share your views about what's really happening in Chico, as opposed to what we gloss over or what we see, the propaganda that we see on Facebook and on the other platforms. So thanks for being here with me tonight. I appreciate that.
Well, thanks for those kind words.
Yeah. So we better get started. We don't have all night here. So Angela, you're here to help us understand all those ballot propositions. So let's just start with Prop 1. And for listeners, we're not going to start from 1 to 32. It just goes from 1, and then we're going to cover Prop 26 to Prop 31. So we've got a bunch of them, but as Angela pointed out to me earlier today, they're not that complicated. So let's start with Prop 1, the one that is about reproductive freedom. What's that one about, Angela?
Yeah, so Proposition 1 amends the California Constitution to proclaim that the state shall not deny or interfere with an individual's reproductive freedom. And given the state of reproductive rights nationally, this is just obvious. It's obvious that this right should be enshrined in the California Constitution. So for me, this is a really clear yes.
It's quite frankly, freedom is on the ballot. I mean, I don't know if we can get more clear than that. I mean, without democracy, we cannot ensure our freedom. And literally, reproductive freedom is on the ballot. There is no excuse for people not to vote. Yeah, so it would change the California Constitution if we vote yes on Proposition 1. Angela, do you know if that has to pass by 2/3?
I do not. That's a really good question.
Yeah, since it's a ballot, since it would change the Constitution, I would think so. You know, actually, you would think I would know that, but I don't. We'll have to get to that one. Yeah. So, all right. Well, there you go. So let's go right to. Oh, one thing I was going to say is I was reading some polling pretty recently, and it talked about abortion issues are right there at the top of the issue that is driving Democrats. It's the thing that is animating Democrats right now to actually go to the polls. People are realizing how very important this is. And I've had people say to me, well, it's California, we're safe. And not too long ago, we were not guaranteed a, quote, safe legislature and governor. We do have super majorities, but that's not guaranteed. That's a relatively recent phenomena here in California. So, Angela, go on.
Absolutely not. I mean, we're seeing such a shift in nationally, we're seeing far right organizations like Oath Keepers and Proud Boys activating and looking for ways to infiltrate local governments. They're starting small, local governments, but expanding to higher offices. And so, I don't think that we can take that for granted at all in California.
So you might as well vote. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Real Issue on KZFR Radio. Today is the first day of our fall pledge drive, and I have people standing by, Leah, Mary, and Chris standing by. Leah is waving at me right now. Chris is waving at me right now, and they are waiting for your phone call. Give them a call at 530-895-0131. We're trying to raise $500 this hour on our way to $40,000. So give us a call, 530-895-0131. So Angela McLaughlin, Proposition 26 and 27, both about gambling. And those are, you know, I watch a lot of Netflix and online streaming services, and I pay the lowest price because I'm cheap. And so I always get a lot of commercials on my streaming services, and I constantly say yes on 26 and then followed by no on 26. Yes on 27 followed by no on 27. They're both about gambling. Help us understand, what is the difference?
Yeah, so these are incredibly confusing, and the advertising has made it even more confusing. A lot of the ads that have been out around Prop 26 talk about money going for homelessness, but they don't talk about what Prop 26 actually does. And what Prop 26 does is it allows in-person roulette, dice games, and sports wagering. That's the big one, sports wagering on tribal lands. And so that is in-person wagering. And sports wagering, one way or another, it's coming. And so this would allow federally recognized Native American tribes to operate these games. It also allows on-site sports wagering at four privately operated horse racetracks, which is a kind of confusing addendum to this. But by comparison, 27 is all about online wagering. And that it's backed by a lot of big gambling interests. And so that's concerning right there. The people that are really behind it are not necessarily the tribes, whereas the tribe has supported 26. And so with that in mind, you know, I think we all know that legalized sports betting is inevitable. Under Prop 26, it would be regulated by compact between Native American tribes and the state, and it would only be conducted in person. Whereas Prop 27 has the potential to turn every, you know, your phone, every online gadget into a gambling device. And given issues with gambling and addiction, that's a concern. So for us, we support 26 and say no on 27.
You're saying Stand Up for Chico supports 26 and no on 27?
Yeah.
Oh, huh. Yeah. I didn't realize that you all were taking positions. Okay, great. Now we know. Now we know what Stand Up for Chico is up to these days. It is interesting. It seems like 26 is on tribal lands and 27 is not. It's that online stuff. And they seem to be in direct competition with each other. And what's interesting is, as you mentioned in 26, the commercials talk about, we're going to use money to address homelessness, but in the actual proposition, it doesn't state that that money is going to be used in that way. It's interesting because we're going to talk about Measure H with David Welsh at the second part of this program, and it's that similar idea, is that there's no identified project that this new tax is going to be spent on. But we'll save that for David Welsh.
Yeah, so that's not strictly true. It does create a state trust fund based on 10% of sports bets, less expenses. So, you know, I don't know how much that actually amounts to, but 85% of the fund's revenues would go towards addressing homelessness, mental health, and gambling addiction, and the remaining 15% to tribes that don't participate in online sports betting. And so these are actually, that's another concern with these, is that voting yes on both would probably land us in court. Because these propositions are in conflict with each other.
It's good. This one's going to be an interesting one. Generally, as you know, sort of like common wisdom around this kind of stuff is that when people don't understand exactly what a proposition is going to do, we generally vote no. And so it'll be interesting. I would suspect that we're going to see both of them be rejected because they do seem quite vague and a bit confusing, and the idea of what if they both pass. So I suspect that they'll both fail, but we'll see. What do I know? So, Angela, let's move on to Prop 27. It provides funding for arts and music education in public schools. Now, who is going to say no to that? Talk about that that proposition? Where would the money come from? So on, like, so on and so on.
Yeah, so so it says the current funding formula for public education requires about 40% of state general fund revenues to be spent on public education. And this would pull money from local property tax revenues equal to about 1%. So it is pulling funding from localities as well as the state, which is a little bit of a concern. On the other hand, at this point, it directs 80% of the funding to hire new staff and to staff arts programs. And so you know, there's a matter of equity here, because the reality is that a lot of kids that are going to public schools, they're living in poverty.
Yeah.
And so when we don't have the arts in the public schools, they're not getting the exposure that wealthier families might be able to provide for their children with private arts and music education. So for me, when I look at this, it really is about ensuring equity and access to the arts and for all of our kids.
And so when you first read it, I think the heading is provides additional funding for arts, music education in public schools. It's sort of a no-brainer. I hadn't really thought of it in terms of a question of equity. What is interesting is that when, you know, I attended the Chico School District candidate forum, every single candidate talked about learning loss. That was a big issue, and it is a big issue. So it would be nice to think that we would have extra money to fund arts and music education programs in these schools, because students really, really have been struggling over these last couple of years during the pandemic. Angela McLaughlin, let's move on. The dialysis proposition is back again. I don't quite understand what is going on. Prop 29 requires on-site licensed medical professional at kidney dialysis clinics and establishes other state requirements. I think this is the third time we've seen it on the ballot. What is going on, and what's at issue, and who is funding it, if you have any idea?
Yeah, so it's essentially a retooling. I mean, what do you say? It seems familiar. It's essentially a retooling of Prop 23 from 2020, and that was rejected pretty soundly by over 60% of voters. So dialysis clinics, I don't know. It is confusing. DaVita is the main provider for dialysis clinics, and several times now they've had to pay nine-figure settlements for a variety of schemes to illegally steer dialysis patients into private insurance rather than Medicare, which doesn't pay as much.
Mm.
And so really this looks to me like another money grab. It would require a physician, nurse, practitioner, or physician's assistant with 6 months experience to be on site whenever dialysis treatments are being administered. And that sounds great, right? Like, but the reality is that the dialysis is it's a pretty standardized procedure, and folks can be trained to do it effectively, keep costs down. There's not really been anything, there's not been harm demonstrated. And so when I look at this, again, it feels like, what is DaVita up to this time?
Yeah, we got to find out. Maybe next time we'll come back after ballots have been mailed out and figure out who is funding this. It seems like that I got to look into it, because we talk about this every 2 years about the kidney dialysis. We need to get to the bottom of this, Angela. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Real Issue on KZFR Radio. Give us a call right now, 895-0131, and you can contribute. We are first day of our fall pledge drive, so we would love to see your support. I see there's only one phone line open right now, so if you want to contribute online, you can go to kzfr.org. Actually, both lines are... Oh, we got two people on the phones right now. So give us a call at 89... Go to kzfr.org. You can also Venmo us at kzfr 9-0-1. Angela McLaughlin, let's move to Proposition 30. It provides funding for programs to reduce air pollution and prevent wildfires by increasing tax on personal income over $2 million. This is another one that seems quite straightforward.
Yeah, this one is a no-brainer for me. The additional tax is only on people, Californians with income over $2 million. And it directs 80% of the revenues towards zero emission vehicles programs. And that includes things like creating charging stations and electric vehicle subsidies. The other percentage, 20%, goes to wildfire prevention and response, and something that we all know we desperately need, especially here in the North Valley. So, you know, this could generate up to $4 billion annually for zero-emission vehicle programs and up to $700 million for wildfire prevention and response. And you know, again, it doesn't affect anyone but a small percentage of extremely wealthy folks. So this is obviously needed and very little harm.
Right. So let's get to the last one. Again, another one that seems sort of a no-brainer. Proposition 31, referendum on 2020 law that would prohibit the retail sale of flavored tobacco products. Go on. Explain that one to us, Angela.
This one is so obvious to me as well. Before we get into it too much, just briefly to relate a personal experience that I had recently. I was at a restaurant and I kept on smelling cotton candy, and I was thinking, that's so odd. Like, there's not a fair. Like, is somebody around here making and selling cotton candy? And I gradually realized that it was a younger, you know, probably 20-something vaping on the patio. You cannot tell me that cotton candy vapes are not geared towards children.
Exactly.
It's clearly marketed towards children and younger people, and there's just no excuse for it.
Right.
We all know the hazards of tobacco and nicotine. We all know how addictive they are. We all know how deadly they are. Absolutely, we should prohibit the retail sale of flavored tobacco products like these.
Oh, Angela McLaughlin, I always appreciate your time. You're always on top of the stuff that I just can't focus on the details. I always turn to you, and you always come through for me. I was thinking about asking you about an organization that seems to have just popped up in Chico. And then as I thought about it, I thought, I don't want to give it more attention than it deserves because I'm a little skeptical.
Yeah.
About this organization. So let's kind of keep the name quiet for the moment until we find out more. Could you give us just kind of an overview about what might be concerning about suddenly a new organization that seems to have quite a bit of money behind it without naming names quite yet?
Yeah, it's a small web presence and a small presence on social media. It's mainly focused on, seems to be focused on how Chico uses the $11 million in federal funds that we've received, and it's not clear who's behind it. It's not clear where it's registered. We've looked it up. It's not registered as a nonprofit. It's not registered as a PAC. It's another one that's concerning that we have a kind of anonymous organization popping up this close to the election, starting to advocate for things. And we don't know who's behind it. So
Well,
that's that so far.
Exactly. And it's always concerning. We're seeing these organizations pop up right before elections. We saw Sierra Forward, or Butte Forward, that's what it was. Butte Forward that sort of reared its ugly head right before the elections, at the primary elections, that poured tons of money into lying about Supervisor Deborah Lucero, quite frankly. And we saw that. We saw that same kind of activity with the organization Citizens for Safe Chico. And from, you know, what public records say, that organization has, you know, about $250,000. And so I'm wondering, we need to do the research and find out before we start naming names, before we're sure of what we're talking about. But I wonder if maybe this new organization is connected. And so we'll find that out. Angela McLaughlin, I will look to you to figure out what we can determine before we start naming names.
All right.
All right, Angela McLaughlin from Stand Up for Chico, thanks so much, as always, for your time and for paying attention and keeping abreast of our local politics.
Yeah, well, thanks again for having me on. It's always a pleasure.
Yep, talk to you later. All right, bye-bye. All right, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue with Chico ballot measures. We're going to talk about Measure H and Measure L. I'll come back with David Welsh, who is the chair of the Democratic Action Club of Chico. But I do want to remind you, we are on our way. I don't know what a total is right now, but we are on our way to hitting $40,000. Today's our first day of pledge drive. We're doing pretty well. And, you know, support me, right? You got to support this programming. If you like locally produced public affairs programming, give us a call, 530-895-0131. You can also contribute online at kzfr.org. You can text us, pledge at pledgekzfr to 44321. But we're going to be right back. We're going to continue our conversation about elections and particularly about ballot propositions. So, yeah, don't go away. We will be right back. We're talking about money because today is the first day of our fall pledge drive. You know, we'd love to do this for free. And the truth is, most of us do this for free, right? We do it because we love it. We do it because we think it's important. Every single week, Chris Nelson is out there. She does an amazing program. She does Peace and Social Justice on Fridays at 11:30 to 1 p.m. She spends an enormous amount of time preparing because she understands that local issues and national and international issues are important for us here in Chico, and we don't get that through regular media. And I can tell you, I spend a lot of time, and I am not whining and complaining. I'm just telling you because this is my contribution to my community. But the truth is, we don't do it for the money, but the station does need the money. Everything we do here requires money. So if you have, you know, want to throw a handful of coins into the bucket, if we all do that, we can fill that bucket. We need to raise about $40,000 in the next 10 days. And so we're doing okay for now. We're trying to hit 500 during this hour. We're doing fine. We're well on our way. But give us a call at 530-895-0131. Right now, I have Chris and Mary and Leah are on the phone waiting for you to give us a call, 895-0131. You can also Venmo us at KZFR 901. And because the pandemic is pretty much behind us, you know, we still got to be safe. But you can come into the studio. We love it. We love when people come visit us in the studio. We're at 341 on Broadway. We are on the fourth floor. We're in studio 416. We love it when people come visit. And we love it even more when people come visit with money. So give us a little bit of that love, that financial love that keeps the lights on, pays the insurance, does all that stuff for us. So give us a call, 530-895-0131. But we got to get back to the business at hand. We are talking about ballot propositions. As a reminder, you'll be receiving your ballots in the mail sometime next week. And I really, really encourage you to quickly fill it out, seal the envelope, sign the envelope, and just throw it right in the mail. There's no postage necessary. If you wait till the last minute, I'll be honest with you, I often put it on the table and then it gets, you know, more mail gets thrown on top of it and I'm scrambling often towards the end of that process. If you get to Election Day, which is November 8th, make sure that you throw it in the mail so it's postmarked on November 8th for it to count. So you might as well do it quickly. I'm going to try to do mine quickly. I say that every year. Or every election cycle. But let's continue. We're going to talk about, we talked about statewide ballot propositions just in the first part of this program. We're going to turn now to the two ballot measures that will appear on Chico ballots, and those are Measure H and Measure L. To talk with me about these measures, there's no better person to do that than David Welsh, chair of the Democratic Action Club of Chico. As always, it's good to have you, David Welsh.
Always happy to be here, Sue.
So let's just jump right in. It's I know that the Democratic Party has really kind of wrestled with Measure H, and which for some reason is surprising, with the tax and spending liberal rhetoric that often comes from the right wing. It's interesting that Measure H, which would be a 1% sales tax, is sort of, it's not a no-brainer for the Democrats this year. David Welsh, talk about what that sales tax is, what it would do, and why there's some concern.
Well, it was, you know, I think the, first off, what it is, it would be a 1% city sales tax on basically the same things that have a state sales tax on them. And with the, you know, a couple of specialized exceptions and things like that. But in general, it would just increase the sales tax that we already pay by an additional 1% on the kind of purchases that are subject to that. It was indeed put on the ballot by the current allegedly conservative city council. And so I think it's one of those issues that good people can have very differing opinions on, and basically they boil down to, on the one hand, clearly our city does need more revenue. We're a rare city of our size in California that doesn't have a city sales tax. Most of the cities around us, Oroville and even places like Redding and Orland and so on, have city sales taxes. And we don't, and it probably, you know, in many ways makes sense that we should. There, I think there is an enormous number of people who feel a profound distrust of the current council majority, distrust their ability or willingness to spend this money sensibly, given some of the dumb things that they have spent money on in the last couple of years. And in the ways in which they have wasted money, I think there's just a sort of a reflexive distrust of this council in general and the feeling that anything that comes out of them must be a bad thing. But clearly, on the other hand, the city does have a very genuine need for more revenue. There's also a feeling, one of the things, it's a quirk of California law that actually honestly seems downright strange to me, is that if you pass a sales tax to go to the general fund, it only requires a simple majority to pass it. But if you want to earmark it for special, for some particular thing, then it requires a two-thirds supermajority to pass it. I think it's two-thirds. Maybe it's 60%. 60% or two-thirds. So it's harder to pass a tax that is earmarked for specific purposes. So this tax isn't earmarked for any specific purposes. The council says things about what they intend to spend it on, but again, there's a level of distrust on many people's parts of this council, and so some discomfort with the fact that there isn't any requirement or any legal limitation on what it can be spent on. And then there is a longstanding issue on many people's parts. The reality is that sales taxes tend to fall a bit more heavily on lower income people as a percentage of income, because more of the things that a larger percentage of the things that they spend their money on tend to be subject to sales tax. Things like services or foreign trips and things like that, you're not paying sales tax on. So if you're getting a massage, you're getting a massage or your gym membership or any of the kinds of things that maybe higher income people tend to spend money on, those are not subject to sales tax. So lower income people tend to be hit a bit harder by sales taxes. So that's another concern for some people.
David Walsh, I've just find this moment with this sales tax to be so confusing. There's very strange bedfellows here. I find it very strange that the Republican council, I mean, it's 6-1, and we say, oh yes, it's nonpartisan, but let's be really serious right now. Nobody in their right mind is going to say that it is not a 6-1 Republican council. There are no right. nonpartisans there. We are not a nonpartisan world at the moment. And it is very interesting, because some of these very same people for years, I might say decades, have been railing against Democrats, saying these tax and spend liberals, how dare you try to raise our taxes? And now what they're doing is they're yelling and screaming about how dare you not help fund the roads. And it's that very relentless narrative that keeps people from wanting to raise taxes to fix the roads. It's so bizarre to me at this very moment. Go on.
Yep. And again, as you say, strange bedfellows, because we have people right, left, and center who are supporting this thing, and we have people right, left, and center who are opposing it. So it doesn't break down on the typical partisan or ideological line.
Right. And the main criticism that I have heard about people that are opposed to it, everybody knows we need better roads. Everybody knows we need affordable housing. Everybody knows that we need more income in this community. Everybody knows this. No, I shouldn't say nobody, but the tiniest minority overlooks the fact that we really do need to generate more income. The biggest criticism I see is that this council is not trusted. And so it's going to be an interesting one to see it pass, because the folks that are the real obvious allies of supporting this, because this money would not only go to roads, but it would also fund some of our city workers, would be the Democrats. And the Democrats are saying, wait a minute, I'm not so sure about this, because of the sitting council. So, and then the other thing I wanted to just throw by you, David Walsh, is that as you mentioned, a tax that is going to the general fund, which means it's just going to be piled into the money at the discretion of the elected body that gets to distribute that money. It only needs a simple majority, but a specific project requires a supermajority. And as I think about this for, the last 30 seconds or 45 seconds, that seems counterintuitive. You know what I mean? It's like, if there's a very specific specific tax for roads, you would think that the threshold would be lower. So it's an interesting, do you know the history of why it has shaken out this way?
I don't. It would be interesting to research that, actually, because that is fascinating. It does indeed seem counterintuitive.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I got to remember to look it up. I always think of these great things, and then I leave the studio and I forget. So maybe we'll remember together, David. So just to throw it out there, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Real Issue on KZFR Radio. I have David Welsh, chair of the Democratic Action Club of Chico, on the phone with me right now. We're talking about the two local Chico ballot measures, Measure H and Measure L. Just want to throw it out there again. I see that there's one phone line open. We are in the first day of our fall pledge drive. We're moving in the direction of $40,000. Not today, but over the next 10 days. But you can help us out by giving us a call right now at 530-895-0131. Leah's out there ready to take your phone call. So give her a call. David Welsh, let's turn to Measure L right now, and it's the so-called quality of life ordinance. It is still a head scratcher to me. I sort of get to the point of like, what difference does it make if it passes? It doesn't do anything. And then somebody alerted me to the fact that it does do something. It creates bureaucracy. So talk to us about what is the quality of life ordinance, and what would it do if Measure L passes?
Okay. Well, first off, I think it's worth just reviewing the history briefly. This thing was basically brought forth by one council member, Casey Reynolds. And what she brought forth in its original form was essentially a carbon copy of something that was originated by a right-wing group in Sacramento and that is being struggled with down there. And it would have essentially given citizens, it would have given citizens the right to sue the city for failure to abate a public nuisance that impacted that citizen's quality of life, as they say. This is all code words for basically the fact that it would give citizens the right to sue the city for failure to move homeless people out of public
spaces. That's right. That's right.
And so, it didn't actually say that in so many words, but that was, you know, crystal clear that that was what it was about. Even the other, in my opinion, idiotic conservatives on the council were able to see that this was a terrible thing for the city as it was originally, because it would have essentially created a direct conflict between this supposed requirement that people could sue the city for not doing things, and put the city in that in direct conflict with the settlement of Warren versus Chico that obligates the city to do certain things and, you know, can only move unhoused people out of public spaces when there's someplace for them to go and things like that. So it would have really created this very direct conflict between that law and the city's obligation under that settlement. And so they send it off to the city attorney to try and improve it, to take some of that conflict out. And what came back is essentially a cynical piece of meaningless political theater. it essentially, as you say, it does nothing except create a bunch of extra work for city employees. Mm. Now, they're already saying our city, we don't have enough staff in our city. Our city employees are overworked. They're looking to pass a sales tax to try and get the city better staffed. And the reality is the one and only thing this thing would do is create a bunch of extra work for city employees. Mm-hmm. Because what it basically does is if somebody claims that their quality of life is being affected by someone, say, camping in a park, camping in the Lindo Channel, whatever, that person could file a complaint with the city, and city employees would have to take the time, would either have to abate that nuisance, as they say, or would have to take the time to explain why they couldn't. And that's all. So it would change nothing. Nobody would be housed by this. Nothing would be, no messes would be cleaned up. Absolutely nothing would be done if this passed, except that it would create some additional work for city employees to respond to probably a deluge of nuisance complaints from people like Rob Berry.
Right.
And so it's just a silly piece of political theater, and maybe silliest of all is there's absolutely no reason to have put it on the ballot, because if the council wanted this thing to, become a city ordinance, they had every right to just pass it themselves. They didn't need to put it on the ballot. not something that requires a vote of the people to pass. It's something that can just could have just been done by the council if they thought it was the right thing to do. But they put it on the ballot solely, I think, in hopes of using it as a tool to embarrass more progressive political candidates.
Yeah. And again, for about a year, I did a lot of programs on the idea of gaslighting and that kind of psychological jujitsu, which I have so little patience for. And it's funny too, because I've just been scratching my head about this quality of life ordinance. It's just so goofy. I mean, they could have done it if it really was a good idea. I thought maybe it was a way to drive people to the polls, and then I thought, well, maybe it's a way of one candidate saying to the other, is that, are you opposed to a good quality of life? I mean, it's just, mm-hmm. You're right. It's a cynical attempt to poison an honest public debate on how we should be dealing with a very complicated homeless crisis that is not unique to Chico. And so, yeah, David, I think maybe that's right. It's just a cynical attempt to embarrass others. And I hope others have lost patience with it, because I'm tired of covering this stuff. I mean, it's time to really start having these honest conversations about how are we going to fix these problems and stop wasting time on why are they doing something so silly?
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get so annoyed.
Yeah. Oh, you're exactly right. I mean, I think we both feel pretty much the same about this thing. It's just the only thing it does is make some additional work for city employees.
Yeah.
It won't change anything on the ground. No campsite will be cleaned up as a result of this. No person will be housed as a result of this. Nothing positive in any way will happen if this thing passes, and nothing different will happen if it doesn't pass. And whether it passes or doesn't pass will change nothing except making some extra work for city employees,
which we do not need. We do not need right. that. David Welsh, thank you as always for explaining it so clearly for us. I always appreciate your time, and I'm sure I'll talk to you between now and the election, because there's always so many fun things to talk about in the political world.
No doubt we will. Yes, we always find things to talk about.
That's
all
right. Thank you so much. Have a great night.
All right.
Bye-bye. All right, this brings us to the end of this edition of The Real Issue, but it is not too late to contribute right now. Give us a call at 530-895-0131. Be in that group of people that contributed on the very first day of our fall pledge drive. Give us a call, 895-0131. You can Venmo us at KZFR901. You can go right to KZFR.org to contribute online. You can even text us. Text PLEDGE KZFR to 44321. Easy to remember. There's so many ways. You can also just come down and visit 341 on Broadway. We're up on the fourth floor. The studio is room 416. All right, we are at the end. So not only folks that contributed during this hour, I do want to mention that I'm always grateful to the underwriters that make it possible for this show to continue. The Real Issue is made possible by Farm Star Pizza, where the farmer is the star. Farm Star uses products from local farms and ranches to support community agriculture. They're open every day for lunch and dinner with curbside pickup at 2359 on the Esplanade here in Chico. For details, you can find Farm Star Pizza on Facebook. You can also find them at farmstarpizza.com. Writing on Air is up next. And just in case you didn't know it, you are listening to FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond.
together.